Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We try and do this every week. I actually do it twice. There's 2 one-hour shows, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, for the radio stations that take our show. And then it turns into a podcast, and you can listen whenever the heck you want. There's a lot of them. Check them out. We have some fantastic guests. I am the collective soul of the audience. I'm going to ask all the questions that I can possibly think of. I am tasting the air to hear your vibes out there, people, so that I can hear what you want me to ask this person that I interview. Who is this person today? His name is Courtney Ream. And him and his brother, Carter, have just authored a book called Shortcut Your Startup, Speed Up Success with Unconventional Advice from the Trenches. I love this guy. I talked to him for 3 minutes before we got on the air here, and I asked him for his elevator pitch. It was so perfect that I'm going to ask him to do it again, and he's probably going to screw it up. Courtney, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Alan. I appreciate it.
Now, I've really set you up to fail here, okay? Because I asked you, I said, you know, we have a show called Elevator Pitch at Entrepreneur Media, right? And I think it's brilliant because if you cannot explain what you do in those, you know, 30 seconds, 1 minute, whatever it is, you're in an elevator with somebody, then what do you do? And, you know, I've been in elevators with people. If I was in an elevator with you and I said, what do? I'd say, can I talk to you out here in the hall for a minute? Because I need some of that, baby. So for the folks that are just joining us and listening to this show, maybe you could talk about Courtney and Carter Ream and this new book, Shortcut Your Startup, and a little bit about, you know, the elevator pitch of who you guys are. Because I personally think you did a great job. So the mic is yours.
Sure. Well, thanks, Alan. If I mess this one up, feel free to block the elevator until I get it right, I guess. That's probably what I do first, you know, and be persistent. But yeah, my brother Carter and I wrote this book, I think from hopefully a place of, we like to say, being just old enough to have experience, which hopefully leads to some wisdom, but just young enough to still, I guess, get it and be in the throes. And so we are former Goldman Sachs investment bankers turned entrepreneurs and then have done quite a bit of angel investing and stuff too. So we felt like we were at a point where we had this unique vantage point, invested and been part of over 100 companies directly, have started and sold a couple ourselves, and just felt like we had some pattern recognition of what was going on out there. And there's so many books, so much information, but we felt like there wasn't really like a playbook out there for how to start a company really broken down in, you know, in the new world order economy or internet 2.0 age or whatever you want to call it. We like Steve Case, who's been the founder of AOL, has been a great supporter of our book, wrote a book called The Third Wave, talking about how companies are started now and how anyone can do it because the barriers to entry are lowered and it's democratized. And we agree with that third wave. So I would say in a way, our book, Shortcut Your Startup, is the playbook for something like that third wave. And I think what makes our book unique is that there's a ton of information out there. And so our book is definitely a lot of new information, but also a lot of information that we've learned from our great, you know, mentors and contacts, but hopefully distilled down and synthesized in a way that's really easy to understand that other people haven't quite done yet.
I love it. I love this, like you said, New World Order 2.0, because, I mean, the world is changing so fast we can hardly keep up with it. You know, all I can say is I look at the companies that are not willing to take a look and really just kind of go, okay, all right, we have to change and we better change fast, because if they don't, they're gone in no time. I think this is going to be a very fun, entertaining, and enlightening interview with you. So I hope that everybody will stay with us. We'll take a little tiny break here. Come back. Got to pay the bills. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back with Courtney Ream. The book again, Shortcut Your Startup. We'll be right back.
Scott tissue that I wish you saw. Sock after Mr. Know-It-All. Close your eyes.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
Well, this is Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for joining us. Talking with Courtney Rehm, co-author of the book Shortcut Your Startup, Speed Up Success, with unconventional advice from the freaking trenches. Okay, I added the last part, the freaking part, but so important. So much information out there, just so much BS out there, that when you hear about stuff that makes sense and it's intuitive immediately, you know, you just go, okay, I like this, I need more. Courtney, time is the new money. You said that in the commercial break. I freaking loved it because it really is. I mean, I'm running like 5 individual small businesses right now. My time is so valuable to me. I said to my wife yesterday, I said, I just want to escape into sleep because I have just not gotten enough. I don't want to drive my Viper. I don't want to drive my brand new crew cab, 4-wheel drive, Dodge Ram. I don't want to drive any of the freaking 20 cars I have. I want to go to sleep because I am so busy. So we're looking at hacks or time savers that you guys can help people with. Because I know entrepreneurs, we cherish sleep and rest because our minds are going 1,000 miles an hour all the time. So maybe you could just jump into the, you know, the advice from the trenches that are time savers for folks.
Yeah, sure. And just to repeat what I said to you before, Alan, because I think it's important, you know, global burnout is really an epidemic. And trust me, I know firsthand because my brother and I used to work at Goldman Sachs, as I mentioned. And so I say that only to repeat that I know what it's like to pull all-nighters. I know what it's like to sleep literally 7 hours in a week once.
Yeah.
And somehow you look back and go, I survived it. But there's a big difference between maximized and optimized. And certainly, I think I know I can relate what it feels like to be maximized, and I'm still trying to work on what it feels like to be optimized. And so I think that's a big part of what we're trying to do with the book. Arianna Huffington, who a lot of people probably know, started Huffington Post, is on the board of Uber. You know, her new company, Thrive Global, is all about that. And so when she found out about our book, she got really excited because it's a very real thing. But to give you an example of that, because you said trenches, which is a very important word, I'll tell you one other little anecdote around the trenches that's in our book that we love, is another guy that we know that worked at Goldman Sachs. He wanted to start a concept that was like, we'll call it like Chipotle for Italian food. Sounds good, sounds fun, seems to make sense. And so what did he do to actually start that? Most people would have done research, wrote in a business plan, come up with the concept. He was passionate about it, but he was so passionate that he actually quit his job at Goldman Sachs and went to go work at Chipotle for 3 months. He actually said, he's a very honest guy, and said it was one of the harder things he had to do, not because of the work, but because he had to basically falsify his resume, or else they obviously wouldn't hire him or know he was up to something. But he literally worked in the kitchen and all around the unit that he was at for 3 months, and ultimately, funny enough, decided not to do it because he couldn't make the business and the margins work. But if you want to talk about getting in the trenches, I don't think there's a better example of rolling up your sleeves and doing something that's a little different than what you had been doing.
Right. No, I love that. And you know what's funny is that guy did what a lot of entrepreneurs do. They get an idea, it burns in their heart and their soul, and they just jump. And it's like sometimes they got to build an airplane on the way down. This guy obviously had the means and the ability to kind of re-engage somehow with something else, you know, or back at Goldman Sachs. All these things that we go through in our life along the journey of the business, the entrepreneur, they are what make us who we are. The failures are the most important of all. Don't you agree?
Yeah. A lot's been spoken about failure, and I honestly can't say that I'm as comfortable with it as I'd like to be, because I think, you know, anyone that's hard-charging type A likes to win or achieve or have success. But, you know, it certainly is the case. And I think, you know, talking about failure, there's another part of our book that we call Know Whether You're a Sailboat or a Speedboat. Mm. And I guess as it relates to failure, a speedboat would obviously be a company like Lyft or Uber or Airbnb, companies that are just rocket ships and grow really quickly, whereas a sailboat is the type of company where you kind of have to wait out in the water, make sure you have, you know, everything lined up, catch little gusts of wind, and eventually when the big one comes, be ready. And we now live in this world where it's so much about, oh, if you're not growing to X by this date or adding this many people, you must be failing. And so part of what we have in our book is that most companies are meant to be sailboats, not speedboats. And once you go from being a sailboat to a speedboat, there's kind of no turning back. You can't reconvert your sail, if you will. And so I wouldn't call it failure, but I'd say sometimes being a sailboat when you're biding your time, waiting for things, can feel like failure, but it's about kind of being patient, learning from it. We say learn, iterate, move, learn, iterate, move. So I think it's a really key thing, because there's a company, as an example, that I was on the board of for a long time called Kavita, that was a sparkling probiotic beverage. If they tried to be a speedboat 6 years ago, 7 years ago when I first met them, it wouldn't have worked. People kind of knew what probiotics was. They thought it was in yogurt. It was just, they were ahead of their time, but they were a sailboat and then eventually became a speedboat, you know, doubling their sales 3 years in a row toward the end once the consumer was ready for it. So it's a good example of being a sailboat until you can be a speedboat.
Talking with Courtney Rehm, new book, Shortcut Your Startup. Speed up success with unconventional advice from the trenches. When we come back, we're going to get the entrepreneurial readiness test. Be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
This song is Foo Fighters' Learn to Fly. Are you freaking ready to learn to fly? Because when you're an entrepreneur, you are going to jump off that cliff. And you better be able to manufacture a hang glider on the way down out of your underwear, your socks, and your shirt. That's what it's like. That's what they do. And unfortunately, some of them hit the bottom and then we hear a big splat. So Courtney Rehm with us, Shortcut Your Startup. I love this guy. I think that you have such clarity. And there's a book you may want to read called Clarity by Jamie Smart. I love that guy too. This is what we need, is this kind of clarity and this kind of honesty. So now we're ready for the entrepreneurial readiness test. If you're going to learn to fly, you better make sure you got the parachute. You better be thoughtful. You better get good advice from good counsel. Today, my counsel is Courtney Rehm. Courtney?
You know, we actually start our book by, you know, we have a dedication to my dad. We give a little overview of where we think the state of affairs is that, and then we have what we call the entrepreneurial readiness test, because honestly, I think we try and talk you out of it and then say, hey, but if you still want to do it, here's our book. And so we have a couple of guiding principles. We say anyone can do it, but not everyone should do it. You know, it seems self-evident, but entrepreneurs need a couple traits. We go into all of them. We talk about being optimistic. We talk about having the energy, and energy means both kind of the drive and the stamina, certainly risk-taking. People who are emotionally resilient is such a big thing that I don't think is talked about enough, because that's where a lot of people let down. And, you know, other qualities, being a visionary, being persuasive. And then, you know, just reminding people, especially when you're bigger companies, you know, you don't have to be a quote-unquote entrepreneur to know, you know, to actually be an entrepreneur. You can be an entrepreneur in other ways. You can be an entrepreneur within a big company. So I think all that's really important to keep in mind within the landscape of the greater picture.
You know, I'm looking at some notes on you guys here, you and your brother. We don't want to forget Carter at all. Carter Rehm is the co-author and brother of Courtney here. You've been featured in Richard Branson's best-selling book, Screw Business as Usual. And most recently, Goldman Sachs Builders and Innovators, 100 Most Intriguing Entrepreneurs. I get it. I get it, because this clarity, this honesty that you guys have, and there's so many, God, I don't do it. And I'm going to be really careful how I say this, and I'm going to offend somebody, and I just can't care at this moment. There's so many fakers. And I say that with an A, not a U. Because there are so many fakers in this industry that are trying to help teach people how to do business, yet they are not business people themselves. They're not true entrepreneur people themselves. They are not from the trenches. They are not part of the tribe. They just gather information and put it into a book and say, here you go. You guys have been there. You have done it. You are from the trenches. I love this stuff. Website. What about a website? You guys got to have something big going on.
Oh, yeah. If you can believe it, Alan, we got our hands on shortcutyourstartup.com. So that makes it. If you remember the name of the book, you can remember the website. So that's, you know, obviously has a link to buy the book, but we'll have a lot of content and different things, too, because, as you said, the world we live in, I'm talking to you from L.A., Alan, and I love L.A., but this is the ultimate land of, you know, people saying one thing and doing another. So we like to always say, don't talk about it, be about it, and hopefully this book is being about it.
Let's talk about leadership for a moment. I just recently did a one-hour-long leadership, kind of, I'll call it a symposium, at the L.A. Auto Show. You know what's going on right now, right? It's there.
Yep.
And I gathered together a few of the leaders of the automotive world, and we sat there and discussed, you know, that the entire automotive industry, if you look closely, if you examine who were the founding fathers of the auto world, you know, Henry Ford, those kind of guys, Enzo Ferrari from Europe, and Carl Benz from Mercedes-Benz. I mean, these are the original founders. Every, almost to a T, every single one of them were just simply entrepreneurs that wanted better. They didn't want to have a horse and a carriage, they wanted a horseless carriage. And then it turned into, you know, the amazing machines we have today, entrepreneurs. But each one of them sometimes were not great leaders. They were great innovators. They were great idea people. You got to know where your strengths are, don't you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, leadership is a term that's thrown around, and I don't know. There are certainly people who inherently seem like good leaders. I think a lot of it is learned, but my dad used to always say, ideas are cheap, execution is dear. I don't think that was his quote. I think he got it from someone else, but he lived by it. And I think that's really true. But being self-aware of what you are good at and what you're not, I think, is paramount. We actually have a whole chapter in the book that's called, well, we actually have two chapters I think kind of relate to what you're talking about. One is called Excessively Take Advantage of Your Unfair Advantages. And the other one is called Do What You Do Best and Outsource the Rest. And to your point, you know, we're talking more about products and brands in there, but I think it applies to companies and personnel and qualities too, because we say the difference between good, better, and best has never been so pronounced. And especially if you're one of these big companies, cars are actually a great example. You used to be able to get by doing a lot of things like
Hold on.
Good.
We're going to get run over. I'm going to continue on the other side. Courtney Rehm, be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
My apologies. We got run over by a commercial break because this is our national syndicated radio show, even though about half of our audience listens via Entrepreneur. And we thank the podcast listeners. We also thank the radio stations that take our show all over America. I love it. And I think because, you know, that entrepreneur gene is part of the fabric of what it means to be an American, that you know that you can take off into this world, into the great unknown, and just give it a go, whatever it is. And Courtney Rehm with us, Shortcut Your Startup. We were talking about, you know, the thing that I did recently, which was a thought leadership symposium with our friends from Kia, because they have this amazing new car called the Stinger, which you guys should all check out because it is just awesome. They brought the engineer from BMW, from the M, the performance division of BMW. They hired that person. This is Kia, a Korean car company. They hired the head of design from Audi. So Audi has beautiful designs. Kia has, you know, beautiful cars now because of that. They have great engineered cars because of the engineers from BMW. They decided to just do the best thing they could do and build the best car they could build. And it truly is amazing. And I thought to myself, I love that. Then when they said to me this one thing that I thought was so important, they said, then we shared our tribal knowledge. I went, tribal knowledge, I love it. And I thought to myself, that's what we do. We share, us guys, Courtney and Carter Ream, are sharing their knowledge of From the Trenches so that you folks that are listening don't have to go through some of the hell that these guys have gone through, because there was hell along the way, wasn't there, Courtney?
Yeah, double hockey sticks and a lot of chaos.
Right. So we're sharing our tribal knowledge with each other right now, and you were talking about the car industry being a good example of that. And sorry, I had to cut you off, so continue on.
Yeah, no, I was saying, I think especially a lot of big companies have missed this moment we're having where, as I was saying, we say, do what you do best and outsource the rest. The difference between good, better, and best has never been so pronounced. We've got probably 5 or 6 brands that we're involved with that have gone from zero to $100 million of sales in 4 or 5 years tops.
Whew.
And that's the way companies can be built now. That never would have been possible 5 or 10 years ago, just with technology and finding your tribe and finding your consumers. But when there's competition like that and things can be built that way, you know, if you're a company, it's the old GE, if we're not number one or number two in an industry, and I take that to mean competency, then we should be out of it. And I think that thinking's right, but most people didn't adhere to it because we now live in a world where you need to obsessively take advantage of your unfair advantages. And if once you find those, you have to just make sure that you outsource some of the rest, because just being kind of okay at something or even good is probably not enough. And I think that's what's happened with a lot of the car companies, frankly, in terms of innovation and execution. And that's why people like Elon Musk and Tesla have obviously kept them on their toes, or the slew of other new electric cars that are coming to market.
Hmm. I'm going to reiterate for a second. New World Order 2.0, the new business world that we have. We're talking about that with Courtney Ream. The book, again, shortcutyourstartup.com. You can find it there. Time is the new money. I so agree with that. This book, I see, will help us all in business, us entrepreneurs. I believe in our lifestyles that we live with our families as well, with these hacks, these time savers. Will not, you know, the hacks, when you hear life hacks, you know, a lot of people don't understand that. So I ran those two together, as did you when we were talking, because we can't talk over the heads of people. And I've had that happen. I'm sitting there shaking my head. Yeah, I understand. I know what the hell he just said. You know, I remember a guy says to me, you know, it's a life hack. I'm like, to me, a hack used to be somebody. Look, I'm 57 years old. If somebody was a hack, they didn't know what the hell they were doing. Today, if you say it's a life hack, it's like, it means something totally different. That means a time saver. So forgive me for those who understand. We have to make sure that we talk to everybody, the whole team, the tribal team of people that are just getting in. They're just jumping in. One of the ladies on my panel had worked at Microsoft for years, and then she helped all these other big, gigantic, world-class companies. And just a month ago, she decided to become an entrepreneur and go out on her own. And literally, you could see the fear in her eyes, the nervousness, but smiling, going, I know it's okay, and I'm going to make it. You know, it's such a scary thing because we get used to the comfort zone of getting a paycheck without taking risk. You know what I'm saying, Courtney? And being an entrepreneur, you got nothing. You burned the boats. You're there on that island. You ain't getting off. You better fix it fast. You better win the battle, right?
Oh, for sure. To go back to my friend with the Chipotle for Italian food example, yeah, he wasn't exactly welcome back at Goldman Sachs with open arms after he did that. Now he's a talented guy, so he found a way, and he's got a different gig, and he's just fine. But yeah, that's real risk.
Mm. Let's talk about now how to successfully sell a business. And because I think, you know, that's a biggie. We all in our minds think our businesses are worth hundreds of millions. And then we find out the reality when we actually get serious about trying to sell it. And there's people, again, that will lie to you. They will lie right to your face. They will lie to your wife and your children and your CEO and your board and tell you some expanded view of why you're worth so much money. But when the rubber hits the road, then you get reality. So let's talk about selling. How do you advise on that?
Yeah, well, listen, based on different industries, it's hard to make a one-size-fits-all recommendation. But one thing, the title of our startup switch-up for that chapter is hit you right in between the eyes. Success doesn't equal a successful exit. And I think that's That's so true, because I meet with people, I mean, daily, who get to a certain level and then they're shocked that no one wants to buy their business. But I call it kind of unstrategic sales. I'll meet with people who get to 5, 10, 25 million of so what sales, and they're like shocked that, oh, I got to X number, 25 million, and nobody wants to buy me. And I said, I'm not shocked at all, because I don't know why someone would. It doesn't meet any of their objectives. It's just so what sales. And so I think one of the things we advise is that it's so important when you start something is to start with the end in mind, because it really informs every decision along the way.
Mm. All right.
And I also think the other misconception that's out there is, because we've experienced this, right? If your company is setting the world on fire, yeah, you'll probably get inbound calls to get bought. Our companies that we have sold, none of them people were breaking down the door. And we thought, gosh, if people weren't breaking down the door, they must not want this. They wanted it, but I would say our companies were maybe a nice to have, not a need to have. And then they didn't actually understand exactly what we were doing or the story or why it might fit with their portfolio. And so it's a little bit of, we talk in here about pre-courting the buyers. And I think it's a little bit of leaving those breadcrumbs so that people kind of come to their own conclusion, but you really have to feed them those breadcrumbs.
Ooh, I love the clarity, brother. Love it. When we come back, I want to talk about Startup Switch Up. I heard him say that. I need more clarity. Courtney and Carter Ream, co-authors, Shortcut Your Startup, Speed Up Success with Unconventional Advice from the Trenches. We're speaking with Courtney. Brother Carter couldn't be here. I want to meet him, too. If you want to check their book out, it is at shortcutyourstartup.com. It is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
I have to let him say that every now and then in case people are just joining us in the radio broadcast world. The folks that are listening to the podcast already know what we're talking about. But if you're just joining us, I'm talking to Courtney Ream. He's a co-author with his brother Carter of a book called Shortcut Your Startup, Speed Up Success with Unconventional Advice from the Trenches. I suggest that you go take a look at this. The clarity here is just astonishing. Young guys under 40, as a matter of fact, they've been acknowledged and featured in the 30 under 30. So this has been going on for a while, because I know, Courtney, that you're 38, you said. And I want people to go to your website and check out your book, shortcutyourstartup.com. You guys can find it there. Let's talk about, you said something, Startup Switch Up. Give me that.
Yeah, that's what we actually call the chapters, because we, you know, obviously we wanted something that resonated with people and that they hopefully remember, but that's the whole idea of our book, Startup Switch Up, meaning something that's a switch up from the way you've traditionally thought about it or been taught, because that's the kind of world we live in. So that's why we call them Startup Switch Ups.
Give me a couple of lessons from the trenches. Now, I always look to folks like yourselves as, oh my God, I will never do this again. Is there any of those?
Well, yeah, I mean, there are and there aren't. Meaning, as my dad used to say, please don't make the same mistake twice. And then he used to say, well, gosh, I guess that's not the same mistake, but it's, you know, pretty darn close. And that's because things are nuanced. One thing that we actually talk about in the trenches is we call it the farmer's market test. When you're creating a new product, especially if it's something that's like a consumer product, how quickly can you get what we like to call the jimmy-rigged version that you could take to a farmer's market and test it just to see what people think? I think it's a lot of fun to think about that before you go into full-scale production on whatever it is you're thinking about doing.
Mm. Let's talk about for a moment. That's a great idea, by the way. Branding and connecting with customers. Branding, wow, find a brand specialist, somebody that actually knows what branding means and what you're trying to do. But so many people, you know, I mean, they're at the farmer's market, right? And they're just seeing what they're gauging customer or consumer reaction.
But they have yet to even get that branding, that packaging, and all the different things that, the, you know, kind of the, what is your company all about? What does it stand for? And all the everything, right? So branding and connecting with customers. Give me 2 minutes on that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm like everyone else where sometimes customers and consumers frustrate me, and I'm like, oh, they're stupid. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're missing. But it, as you said earlier, they're not. They're the opposite. They're smart, and they're discerning, and it's really true when you see how companies are built more. They people demand transparency. One thing that we believe is that brands no longer talk to customers so much or at customers, and now more through customers or consumers, because so much of it's a transparent, open source sort of world. There's so much user-generated content out there and influencer models that you really have to speak and work through your consumers if you're a brand rather than at them. The days of being like, go out and buy this, almost with subliminal messaging, that doesn't work anymore. It has to be authentic.
Yeah. And what he's saying is offline in the commercial breaks, I usually go back and talk to these guys. And I said, my audience, all audiences are so freaking smart these days. They call BS immediately on posers. They don't, it's like, turn the channel, turn it off, next. And it's so important for us. And the reason why we love guys like Gary Vee and, you know, just Simon Sinek is you see it emanating like an artesian well from their soul. It being this clarity, this transparency, this their message. I see that with you, Carter, Courtney. I can't wait to meet Carter. I see that with you. Trying to get you guys' names is the hardest part. But I respect that. You're a young guy. I mean, listen, I feel like I've been in the trenches. I'm 57. I've been an entrepreneur since the time I was in high school when I started buying and selling things, and I went to Arizona and I bought some turquoise jewelry in the 70s, you know, and I brought it back and somebody said, hey, where'd you get that? And I said, I got another one. You want to buy it? And the guy says, yeah, how much? And I like doubled my money. I went, hey. So right. All I can say is that, you know, I only know being an entrepreneur, and from people like you that have been in the trenches, and that I've had the gift from God to be able to talk and interview and learn from folks like yourself, I feel like that, you know, I have a responsibility to share this tribal knowledge we talked about. But man, there's so much we just don't know. There's so much we consumers, we want to know. But if it comes from any other source other than honesty, integrity, and clarity and transparency, we move on very quickly. When we come back, we're going to ask you to give some advice to becoming an entrepreneur. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, time is money, and we hope that you have invested this time and feel that you walk away with value. Entrepreneur Weekly, we're here to try and help you to learn how to save that precious thing called time and give it back to your family or your friends or your loved ones or your customers, wherever you so choose. Courtney Ream is joining us. Him and his brother, Carter, co-authored the book, Shortcut Your Startup, Speed Up Success with Unconventional Advice from the Trenches. And I have to keep saying that because in the radio world, I know the people in the podcast world, they say it once and then they do their whole hour. I've given an hour of national syndicated radio to Courtney because I love where he's coming from. I hear an authenticity, a clarity, an honesty that is just so rare in this world. I want to meet you in person. I want to go have coffee, not drinks because I don't drink, but I want to go have coffee with you and talk about life and business and meet the brother Carter, and hopefully someday I will. All right. It is time for you to put your professor's cap on, whatever that means. Maybe it's a baseball cap. But the idea that folks listening to our radio program may have normal, everyday, workaday Joe jobs that are just not happy, sick and tired of that same job, making that same widget over and over again, not profiting from doing a beautiful job making a widget, but it's not their company. They just get a paycheck, which is wonderful. You got to pay your bills. But at the end of the day, maybe you could start your own company, people. And hopefully guys like Courtney can help that and me and this brand entrepreneur, because that's what you are in your heart. Mike's yours, Courtney.
Yeah, I think the last thing that you and I talked about a little bit offline, but I think we have one of our switch-ups is called building flexibility and a diversified focus. And, you know, what that means is I think when we reflected on a lot of the best opportunities or things that have come our way, some people might say luck, but we think it's kind of you make your own luck. And so by staying flexible and opportunistic, you really, I think, give yourself the best chance of success. And so one thing that we always try to do is really prioritize learning something or learnings over outcomes, because it helps you focus on most great companies are built around a single key profound insight. And so as you're making your way out there, I think it's always important to look for those insights. And that's what I mean when I say prioritize learning over outcomes. And then as you have those learnings, as you have those aha moments, then it's all about kind of iterate, move, but just kind of keep moving along that spectrum, whether it's an idea that you're just getting going or you've started something. You know, when you see the original business plan for all these companies, Airbnb, I mean, there's a reason it stands for Air Bed and Breakfast. That's what it was, and they had a key insight, and that caused them to move, pivot, iterate, and keep improving on it.
Mm. It's learnings over outcomes. My God, is that an important thing in life? In life! Because so many people feel like failures when they have those learnings that, oh, you know, instead of looking at it like a learning moment, like I said, they call it a failure, and then they tip their head down and tuck their tail between their legs, and they go off and feel like failures instead of, you know, learning, and the outcome then is to be better tomorrow.
And, yeah, you know, I think in the old world, it used to be a lot of these great companies were actually built on principles and rigidity, and it served them well for decades and decades. And now we actually believe that the key to staying power in the new world order, in the third wave, as Steve Case would say, is actually flexibility.
Mm. As Carter Ream would say. I know, because you know what a buddy of mine said? He said, if you say it twice, I'm going to steal it from you. If it's good enough to say twice, I'm going to own it. So you know what? And that's the beauty of this whole thing. All this wisdom is there for all of us, and it's to be shared. It's not to be like, it's mine. It's mine, and it's only mine. And then what are you? You're Scrooge McDuck. No, share it. Because at the end of the day, when Steve Jobs laid down for the last time and didn't wake up, all the money he had and all of the brilliance he had that wasn't shared, it's like it's all gone now because it was not shared. To me, the shared wisdom, the tribal knowledge, makes the world a better place. That's why I appreciate people like you and people like your brother Carter. Courtney and Carter Ream have written a book, you guys. And again, if you're just joining us on the radio, shortcut your startup, speed up success with unconventional advice from the trenches. Find it online. It's shortcutyourstartup.com. Courtney, what a pleasure, man. I can't wait to meet you in person. All right.
I look forward to it, Alan. No drinks, just a green juice.
Just green or brown coffee.
There you go. Got a few of those in our portfolio, too.
Perfect. All right. You've been the best. Thank you for the great wisdom. You are definitely doing a great job. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly and a little yellow, oh, yeah, from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, because I think Courtney and his brother Carter, totally Ferris Bueller. See you guys next week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.